This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Let us pray. Our Father, as we approach thy throne of grace in the name of our Lord Jesus, we praise thee for thy goodness that has led us to repentance, for the grace given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, for thy mercy shown to us because of the shed blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, that hope thou hast given us because thou hast worked in our hearts and revealed Christ to our soul, we praise thee and thank thee for the gift of thy Son. Lord, we pray for these in Radio Land who know thee, that thou wilt strengthen them with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. And those who do not know you, that thou wilt have mercy upon them and turn them unto thee. Oh, that thy word will go forth in power and much assurance in today. O Lord, hear us. O Lord, help us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. conscious of this every day. We need the Lord. I do. I need His cleansing blood and delivering power. I need His mercy, His guiding hand, His instructions. Oh, that the indwelling Holy Spirit would make us feel our need more and more is our cry today. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Dear friend, if you would like to have a part in this radio ministry, would you write us and tell us that you are standing with us in prayer? We'd appreciate it. And when you do, will you ask for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled Kept for the Master's Use? It is a book by Frances Havergal, the great poet and hymn writer. And she uses the words of her own hymn, one of the world's favorites, as the basis of each chapter. You know the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. She takes each expression of that poem or that hymn and writes upon it in this little book, 128 pages. It'll be a great devotional book, one that you would love to read there in your home. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We begin today a series of messages that have been laid upon my heart and I think are very needful in the hour in which we're living. And that is four messages on the subject, the crimes of our times, or the sins that have brought our great nation to the brink of eternal judgment. We want you to listen to this series of messages and write for them. They're in print. They're yours free and postpaid if you'll write them. Dear friend, we are living in a day of great lawlessness and ungodliness. And just about every man, woman, and child is doing what seems right in his or her eyes, giving no heed to the righteous demands of God's holy law. Wickedness abounds in every stratum of our society. Civil disobedience is the law of the land. Corruption in our judicial and law enforcement systems is an affront to the righteous claims of God and His holy law. For each official placed there in this position is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil, according to Romans 13:4. Therefore, according to Ezekiel 3:18, God will require at their hands the blood of every criminal whom they have let slip through their systems without punishment. You see, dear friend, the God of the Bible hates sin. We can rest assured that every transgression and disobedient act will receive a just recompense of reward, according to Hebrews 2:2. For God is of pure eyes, and to behold iniquity without punishing it. Listen to me now. The Bible further declares that God is no respecter of persons, that He will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and immortality and honor in Christ. These shall have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ based upon His substitutionary work at the cross. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they shall abide under the indignation and wrath of God forever, according to Romans chapter 2. One of the crimes of our times is the sin of murder, which breaks the sixth commandment, which reads, Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt do no murder, according to Exodus 20:13. This crime, this sin of murder, it's certainly one of the worst sins of our day because life is the most precious thing that God can give. When killing anyone, the murderer is guilty of taking the life which God has given And therefore he or she is praying God by saying when and how another should die. But my friend, God does not look lightly upon those who try to take his place. He declares in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And again we have these bold words spoken by the Lord himself in 1 Samuel 2:6 and 7. He says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and giveth life. He alone, therefore, has the sovereign right to take away life. Therefore, God has given us this sixth commandment as a fence about human life to preserve it, for it is sacred unto him. Yes, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is the fence that God has put around human life to preserve it. For the Bible declares human life to be sacred. It is a divine creation, mysterious and magnificent in its beginning and its possibility, utterly beyond the control or comprehension of any human being. It is never to be taken away at the will of anyone. For how can they tell the full meaning of that life and of what that life will bring forth? For you see, the revelation of God made to man out of his blessed word proves that he, and he alone, has purposes for every individual and for every individual in the race, stretching far beyond the present moment of manifestation. And to terminate a single life is to set yourselves up as wiser and superior than God himself. My dear friend, I want you to hear this. The immensity of the issues of death are so great that there can be no sin against humanity and accordingly against God greater than that of taking a human life. Also, God has left upon the pages of Holy Writ a statute which has never been repealed to this day. It is found in Genesis 9:6. This is what it says, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. It is the duty of the courts of our land to act in accordance with the laws of God's word. Therefore, capital punishment is a thing that is mandatory upon our legislators, upon our judges, upon our courts. And if the courts of our land do not act in capital punishment toward these murderers who have played God and taken the life of another, listen to me now, then God will require the slain person's blood not only at the hands of the murderer, but at the hands of the judge or officer who fails to put into effect the righteous law of God. Now, nine men can sit upon the judge's bench in Washington. They can come in their black robes and they can make laws and abolish the capital punishment. But they cannot abolish God's word. Are you listening? There are three sins in Scripture which are said to cry unto God. The first is oppression. Psalms 12:5 and reads, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The second sin that cries unto God is sodomy, or homosexuality. We read in Genesis 18:20-21. And the Lord said unto Abraham, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done it altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. There's a third sin that cries unto God, and it's the sin of shedding blood. This cry goes up so loudly that it drowns all the other cries. In Genesis 4:10, God is saying to Cain, the first murderer, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You see, Abel's blood had as many tongues as drops to cry aloud for vengeance unto God. And we do know that God punished Cain accordingly. We also read in Psalm 51:14 the heavy crying of King David unto God. He cries, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God." And why does King David cry thus? Because the blood of Uriah had been shed by David, even though he had used the sword of the enemy to do it. Read in Exodus 21:28 that if a beast killed a man, it was to be stoned to death and its flesh was not to be eaten. And therefore, my friend, if God would have a beast that had killed a man stoned to death, and this same beast not having the use of reason to restrain itself, how much more will God be in wrath against those who, against both reason and conscience, take away the life of another, and especially those who take away the life of a babe in the womb of a mother. This being true, then, that the blood of the murdered one cries unto God for vengeance, let me ask you, dear friend, how many cries are going up before God today as the murderer stalks our streets, enters into our homes, and sheds the blood of thousands of precious souls? Life is cheap today to the average individual, but, my friend, it is not cheap to God. But the saddest question of them all is, how many cries are going up today from the blood of millions who have been the victims of the sin of infanticide, the murdering of our unborn babies? The cries are going up to heaven today into the ears of a holy and righteous and sin-hating God. The cries of the blood of our unborn babes who are being murdered, that is, butchered by the millions around the world. From just about every hospital and clinic and doctor's office, and even from many homes, goes up the cry daily unto God for vengeance upon those who are shedding the blood of innocent unborn babes whom God Himself has made in His own image and likeness. I want you to hear it clear and loud, loud and clear, based upon the eternal Word of God, which was written in heaven and is settled forever. Abortion is murder. And no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him, according to 1 John 3:15. My dear friend, except this sin be repented of, and you turn to God in confession, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you from this sin by His precious blood, you shall miss heaven, and for eternity abide under the wrath of God in hell. That's God's word, not mine. God's word says no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But I want you to listen further. Pick up ears and listen. Every woman who has premeditatively aborted her unborn child is a murderer in the sight of God. Every midwife, every doctor who has premeditatively aborted an unborn baby to relieve the mother of an unwanted pregnancy is a murderer in the sight of God, because they are playing God and cutting off a life which God has made. For all life is from God. Listen again. Every judge who has ruled or who enforces a law that allows abortion upon demand and even uses our tax money to support it is in the sight of God a murderer, an accomplice after the fact. I'll go further. Every senator and member of Congress, whether at the state or national level, who votes for abortion upon demand is an accomplice after the fact and is a murderer in the sight of God. He said, "Pastor, that's plain preaching." I know it is, but it needs to be preached in this hour. This is the worst of all crimes which is being committed in our country today. The killing of our unborn babies by the wholesale and doing it under the disguise of protecting the rights of the mother, who is usually only concerned about herself and not the God-given privilege of bringing children into the world. God is not unmindful of what is going on today. The blood of all these murdered babies cries unto God for vengeance. And unless there is an individual repentance and a national repentance, God's judgment is going to fall swiftly and hard upon this country. You see, my dear friend, God is concerned about that baby in the mother's womb. He gave it. I know that it came into being by the normal process of the joining together of the male and the female, but it was God who gave the life in conception, and God alone has the right to say when it should be taken away. You see, God's Word says in Psalms 127, 3, 4, and 5, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." So we see that God's Word says that children are an heritage of the Lord. He gives them. God alone gives little children. Therefore, woe be unto that woman or man who destroys them, whether in the womb or out of the womb. And I want you to hear this. It has always been a strange mystery to me how so many so-called doctors, judges, lawyers, legislators can say that if a baby is killed in the womb, it is not murder. But if that same baby is killed after it has come out of the mother's womb, then it is murder. Oh, consistency, where art thou? Well, let's go further. Did you ever read those scriptures in Exodus 21 that protect the rights of the mother and her unborn? Yes, the child has rights. Listen to what happened to the man who hurt or killed the unborn. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, that is, she there's premature birth or miscarriage, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, womb for wound, stripe for stripe. In other words, the unborn child was protected from a doctor who would murder for money, or the whim of some woman who wanted her pregnancy to be aborted because she did not want a child. You see, the unborn child has rights too. If the unborn child was molested, then it was to be life for life. The one hurting the child anyway was to be punished. This is God's law, not mine. Therefore, God's judgment rests upon all those who have committed murder, rests upon our murderous nation today because of all the shedding of innocent blood. Now, I want you to listen to this. Pick up the ears again. There are no scriptures in the Bible that can show us any plainer the beauty and the preciousness of Christ, the preciousness of life, as Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Here we have described for us the life of the unborn child and how God looks upon it. Listen as David speaks of himself in his mother's womb. He said, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Dear friend, when we read this scripture, all the talk about a fetus not being a person goes to the four winds. For I want you to notice carefully that all the formation of the baby, who later became David the psalmist, was formed under the hand of God. David said that it was my substance that was formed. He said, "I was made in secret. All my members were written, when as yet there was none of them." It was David's body being formed. David himself being curiously wrought in the womb of his mother. that tiny being that was being formed in the womb was David. David's substance, David's body. He was a person. And so is everyone who is conceived in the womb. Life starts at conception. You know why? Because God gives it. And therefore, let me say again, abortion is murder in the sight of God, and this sin of infanticide is a sin that goes crying to God for vengeance. Oh, that our lawyers and judges and doctors and legislators would hear the word of God and wipe their abortion laws from our books and not be a party to the scheme of Satan, which is to completely abolish our families and to put a license upon the sin of fornication and adultery, which fosters the practice of murdering unborn babies. And each one of us who knows the Lord in reality, cry unto God for revival and an outpouring of God's Spirit upon us in this hour. Oh, that confession of this sin would go up before God, and a work of repentance would be worked in every heart that is guilty of this dastardly sin. And that this will be shown, my dear friend, by a turning from this wicked practice and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing by the merits of His precious blood. Cry unto God for mercy. Cry unto God for deliverance. And oh, we who know the Lord in sincerity and reality, may we cry to God for revival. God will have mercy upon this nation and turn her back to God and grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You have listened, and I believe God has dealt with our hearts. If you want a copy of this message, which is already in print, you write us, and we'll be happy to mail it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.